warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, the raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio today with Mr. David Niles.
Yo!
Dave, this is, again, we're going back-to-back episodes of First Times. This last week, we just had Trent Horn on, and we did a rum and coke, which was for our man drink, which was the first. But this time, we're going to have four people on the Catholic Man Show.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
So if you didn't check out the warning, if you didn't listen to the warning up front, you know, you may want to rewind if you're on podcast. If you're on radio, you're in trouble if you're susceptible to high levels of manliness.
Yeah, it's not good to do that.
No. So this episode, we have two guests. They are guys from a podcast that most of you probably know. They are from The Crunch, Mr. Ethan and Mr. Patrick. What's up, guys?
Yes. How's it going? We're good.
Not much.
Good. So I got to ask just like right up front, Patrick, I don't know if people know, but I think that you go to like this school called like Franciscan or is that how you pronounce it? Is it?
I go to Harvard.
It's
Franciscan.
I told you. It's Franciscan.
Are you back there yet?
Yes, I'm in my dorm room right now. So okay. If it looks like I have a bunk bed above me, I do.
Oh, no kidding. You do. I see it.
I do.
That's awesome. Not a ceiling.
And
it's not a ceiling.
No.
And Ethan goes to K-State.
What's up? Midwest represent.
I mean, Bill Snyder still repping.
I don't think he's ever going to die. He's going to when he does die, they're going to cut off his head, they're going to freeze it, and he's going to keep coaching until 3002.
that could be. I mean, he's already like beating cancer and everything. Like, I mean, he's killing it. Yeah, he's awesome.
He's awesome. Peace, love, Bill Snyder.
Yeah, he's like one of the best. I think he's probably arguably one of the best coaches in college football because he always does extremely well with like lower prospects.
He's like, kind of like the Eddie Sutton of football.
That's exactly right.
He's really good. He's one of the greatest motivators, I think. He does a really good job at just bringing people up to their potential. He's awesome. I love Bill Snyder.
Okay, so before we get into like what we do on the Catholic Man Show every episode, I'll give you guys a little bit of a platform of tell everybody what you do on The Crunch.
You have to say it like that.
Yeah, it's required.
In my mind, that's you guys are pronounced. Like eating what's that cereal that's flat?
Captain Crunch?
Yes. Yeah. That's even better than what I was going to say. That's
Frosty's
not
Flakes.
What I was going to say, but of course.
Were you thinking Life?
No, I
life
was thinking
Frosted Flakes.
Just give me a second. I'll come back. Come back to it.
Cereal, David?
Come back yesterday.
Yeah. Listen, just because you get older and you're married doesn't mean you stop eating cereal.
There are small children in my house, okay? Like
that means there's cereal.
Dude, I remember, okay, you guys are in college. I remember going to college.
Yeah.
This is actually a very big thing for me. My mom would never let us buy Fruit Loops, okay?
What?
I remember when I got to college, I was like, Fruit Loops all day!
Yes!
I got sick.
I buy the big malto meal bags that are bigger than your torso, and they're gone in like 3 days.
Is that guy buying dog food? No, that's the
that's just the cereal for the week.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us what you do on The Crunch. Give us a little lowdown.
So essentially, we looked at the scape of Catholic podcasts that were out there, and we said, "Wow, there's nothing really aimed. You know, there's nothing really by college students for college students or for young adults. You know, it's a lot of." No offense, old people.
We're not reaching the youths.
We're not reaching the youths.
Why do you, why do you say no offense?
You guys aren't. Well, it's, never mind.
I'm only 30, man.
Dude, that's nobody like that's them. Very dude, ancient. That's very ancient.
I remember
them.
Being in college, like 30 is like, man, you're like gray hair and stuff.
Yeah,
already.
You have to like have your life
stupid.
Together. And yeah, I get it.
My dad grayed at 30, so I'll talk to you in 10 years. I'll see.
Well, I'm just losing right. mine. So.
My hair is slowly receding back. My widow's peaks are like up there.
It's okay. I'm oh. married. It doesn't matter.
I'm so scared.
Yeah, just like once you get married, you're locked in, so it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we started this podcast. It's kind of aimed at the younger crowd, but my grandma listens, so that tells you how good we are at reaching our demographic.
moms also listen to our podcast.
Moms yep. listen. Sorority women listen. A lot of people listen, and we just really talk about our struggles and how we've grown in our faith life kind of in college and how we look at things and how to make the faith a bit more relatable to the younger folk. From by young people for young people, and we're just taking advantage of that while we're still chipper,
still young. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I was a total heathen, so you guys are doing great.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to go through the heathen portion of their yeah. life.
Well, my wife didn't. She was a saint.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to your wife.
I know.
She's.
I love you, honey.
Okay, so I suggest you guys go check. If you're not listening to The Crunch, go to the podcast right now. Go to iTunes or Google Play or.
Let's talk about this beer.
Okay. I was just ooh, give ooh, me ooh. A second. I was plugging them.
It's not a promo or podcast.
Yeah,
dude.
Like,
sorry,
promo them.
Sorry, guys.
I'm promoing them. Okay, go and subscribe to all their stuff. They have social media. They're really big on. Okay. I'm really frustrated with Twitter. Like, you guys are like Twitter guys, and we'll get into that later. Let's talk about the beer.
You know what? I have to tell you guys
about Twitter until the cows come home.
I have to tell you guys something. Jesus was not a drug runner. Okay. That's all
that
I have to say.
That's the name of one of our episodes.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should go listen to their podcast. You'll find out.
Go listen to the podcast episode entitled Jesus Was a Drug Runner. Right. And you'll find out why, in fact.
And then get on Twitter and tell him why he's not a drug runner.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so
it's a lot of fun.
If this is the first time you're listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. We highlight a man gear.
And we flex our biceps.
No, we do not do that.
Sorry.
We have a manly topic. That was embarrassing.
Well, I flex my biceps, but
okay. Anyway, so the first thing we do is
only
we
in
open,
front of the mirror.
We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. And we have to say, because not all of us are 21.
Oh, Patrick.
I'm sorry.
Patrick.
I remember
I'm
my
sorry.
First beer.
That
sorry,
okay,
Patrick,
you guys actually
sorry.
Had a good episode, though, on you know, underage drinking. So go check that out as well.
When we were both underage.
When you guys were
not
both underage. Right.
Yes.
So anyway, Dave, do you want to introduce or you want
yeah.
me to?
Yeah, let me talk about this beer because it's awesome. I've never had it before. And you brought it. It's like the chopped and screwed version of Guinness. Because it's all
ooh.
Innis and Gunn. And if you were to like flip these words around, it would almost say Guinness. But this is a Scottish beer.
Mm-hmm.
We drink scotch all the time on the show.
Right.
So it's almost like we're still drinking scotch in beer form. And I got to tell you, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's almost like we're drinking milk in water form.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly
different liquids.
It's like when those people were at that one wedding and they're like, is this wine?
Yeah.
Wine? I could have sworn this is water.
What?
Yeah. I thought this was scotch.
I know this is water when I filled it up.
Turn scotch into wine.
Yeah.
So that's a good party.
So it's really cool when they do this because it's aged in bourbon oak barrels. And what they have to do in Scotland and
they
in Ireland.
They use bourbon barrels when they.
Yeah, they have to ship the barrels over from like Jack Daniels and Jim Beam and all these distilleries. They ship the barrels actually over to Scotland and Ireland and the places that they bring
hang
these
on,
beers.
Hang on. You're trying to tell me there's a bunch of scotch barrels in a dumpster somewhere.
No, I think that it's because of the bourbon taste.
Okay.
That they can't, you know.
All right, hey, it's their
it's
deal.
It's kind of like so. How Saudi Arabia imports camels from Australia.
There do they go. Do that?
What?
They don't. Do
that's
they...
a fact. That's a real thing that they do.
All right. That's so, dumb.
Yeah. More
that's
you know.
Dumb. All right, that's dumb. so it's aged at least 30 days in bourbon barrels.
Okay.
So, anyway, Ethan, you were...
Does Australia even have camels?
You can't get
yeah,
over that.
Does Australia import camels from, like, Iran so that they can sell them back to Saudi Arabia? I mean...
Is Australia just camel middlemen?
They're right, just, yeah. They're, like, the yeah. brokers of the camel world. I don't know.
What do you do for a living? I rep camels.
Buy, where do you buy camels? On, like, a camel lot?
Well played. That's hashtag dad jokes right there.
Yeah, dude, you're ready. You're ready.
Welcome. Yeah.
Welcome.
The other day, I actually said this to my kids. I said, "Don't make me come back there." And after I said it, I just started laughing. I was like, "That actually legitimately came out of my mouth. I actually said that, and it feels so right."
And your kids are like, "Dad's a maniac. Why is he laughing?"
Well, I was on a bicycle, and I had them in this like trailer. You know, it was like I was hauling my girls around, and I look back and my 2-year-old just smacks my 9-month-old in the face. And I was like, "Elizabeth, don't make me come back there."
Dude, you know what's hilarious is today we had, for the first time, my wife fixed what's pronounced, I guess, I've been pronouncing this wrong this whole time. I thought it was faux food, but it's
What is it?
Faux food.
What? I have no idea what you're talking
about,
man.
It's almost like ramen noodles.
Okay.
Okay, sweet. Anyway, but it's like Thai
never
food?
Heard of faux food. Never heard of faux food.
Is it F O H?
F H O.
Oh.
Is or, it no, P-H-O? P-H-O.
Faux.
Faux.
That's faux.
Whatever it is.
Faux show, man.
Whatever it is, it's hilarious to watch 4-year-olds and 2-year-olds try to eat this because they're super long noodles, and they like try to scoop it, and the noodles just completely fall off.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
It's one of the best parts of being a dad.
They don't have fine motor skills.
Yeah.
No. It's like, I know my kids are going to be terrible at this. Let's watch.
Yeah, let's watch this.
Let's watch.
So, anyway.
Okay, so this beer is super good.
That's really all we have.
I'm trying to compare it to another beer. I'm going through my catalog of beers I've had.
Patrick,
in
what
my
is
head.
What's yours?
Yeah, what are you drinking? You've got one.
Who, me?
No,
I don't have one. Don't bring scandal to your listeners.
All right, guys, when we get back, we're going to jump into Man Gear. We're here with Ethan and Patrick from The Crunch. I'm Adam and Ann. Sitting here with David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
And manly take place. Jesus was a man. He would have loved this show.
He does love this show. Dude, we ran.
Good point.
We won again this week.
Again?
Again.
I knew it.
Yep. I don't know.
How many weeks in a row? How many weeks in a row is this that we won?
I think this will be 66.
66 what? Weeks in a row?
I don't know if you guys know this, but for the last 66 weeks, we've been consecutively, we've won the manliest podcast in the
universe.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. We give out the award.
We give out the award. Oh, we're the only two on the board, and we give out the award. Yep. But we won yet again this week.
But winning streak's a winning streak. Can't argue with that.
Regardless.
Yeah.
We're here with Patrick and Ethan. They have a podcast called The Crunch. If you guys don't listen to it, go listen to it right now. Stop the podcast. Go listen to it. Go check it out. Subscribe to it. Okay, before we jump into the Man Gear, I do have to ask you guys about Twitter because, and I this is a humbling thing for me, like, because I, like, it's humiliating because I feel like, okay, this is like the old, like, my boss asks me all the time about, like, how his computer works.
Right.
You know, and it's like, this is how a computer works.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Control V, Richard.
Right, yeah, it's like, yeah.
PC load letter.
And so this is the old guy asking the younger guys, I guess, in humility, how Twitter works. Because, like, I just don't understand. Like, do you have to be on it all the time? Is that what you have to do? You have to be tweeting constantly?
Yes.
No.
Okay, well,
yes,
good.
Good.
That's what I thought.
clear as mud.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the kind of tweeter that you want to be, honestly.
It's a tweeter. That's like a real word.
Well, they say catch you on the Twitters.
You don't have to be ashamed of using that word.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No, it depends. So my style of tweeting is different than Patrick's style of tweeting.
Yeah.
I just go for like one or two really good tweets a day, maybe, if that. Like maybe it's one or two good tweets a week, and I just shoot for the stars, and I just think about them, and I'm like, oh, this is funny, and then I put it on Twitter, and then like the follows just come rolling in.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
They just love me.
Ethan is a marksman. Ethan is the Chris Kyle of Catholic Twitter. Okay?
Gotcha.
He's like, he's got like a 100 kill streak. I'm like the Rambo First Blood.
Right on.
Twitter. It's just a spray and pray sort of deal.
Yeah, dude.
It's like, I do hit things. I do.
Yeah.
But it's, if we're talking batting average, the award goes to Ethan.
Yeah.
But at least God thinks you're funny, right?
Yes, God thinks I'm funny. Oh, I don't have my mug with me. It's downstairs, but I have a mug that says God thinks I'm funny, so it's okay if you don't. My friend Sarah made it for me.
Nice. Yeah. I think I would probably be more Ethan style as a tweeter, except maybe even to the extreme. If you're going for like one or two a day, I'm going for like one in my life.
Well, you can't throw it out there. You can like, you have to build it up. So you got to start, you have to front load it. That's what I did in high school, is I just front loaded it, and you get a lot of, you know, following from that. And then nowadays I can just sit back, and then if I have something to say, I just go boop, and it's
all
just
right
out there.
So we'll give you an opportunity to plug your handles.
Dude, I was going through my Twitter feed earlier today, ironically, just my, or back in the day, what was I tweeting in the beginning? And it was stupid. Yeah. Like I was going back, it's like, nobody cares about this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's that way with everyone.
I was humiliated.
It's so exciting. Yeah. You're on a new platform. You're like, the world has to know about
me and what I think. Yeah.
The food that I'm making right now.
They don't. Spoiler.
They don't care.
No.
Okay, so what are your handles? That way they can follow you on Twitter.
Ethan's got the cooler one. You go first, Ethan.
Mine is at Bropostle.
And I'm at Catholic Pat.
Well done.
I know.
Well done.
I thought you were going to keep going. I thought it's like, oh, no. It wasn't done.
That's it. It's Catholic Pat.
All right, I got you. All right.
So I did change mine less than a year ago. It's a whole thing.
Okay. Okay, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
This is the man gear section.
Yeah, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Before we get carried away in Catholic convo, let's just do it. Let's just get to it.
Okay.
Because sometimes God just is like, hey, you just got to do it.
Yeah, so is Nike.
Yeah. So the man gear for today is the necktie. That could be bow tie, could be skinny tie. I don't really like skinny tie. I mean, I'll just tell you, like, I don't like skinny ties, okay? I feel like
I'm not a skinny guy.
Ties have to have a certain amount of girth to them.
I agree
with that.
Just, this is a fallacy, but I feel like when I see someone wearing a skinny tie, it's like, I could easily beat you up. Easily. I mean, it's just not, it's not even a competition for me.
I could take that skinny tie and wrap it around your skinny neck.
That's how I feel.
It's already around your neck, Ethan. It's a necktie. Anyway.
Oh, shoot, Patrick, you're so smart.
Okay, so
he goes to Franciscan.
That's true.
I got in.
They didn't want me.
73% acceptance rate, baby.
So hopefully you guys will be here someday. I wear a tie every day. Ooh. Okay, I just have to.
He's a financial advisor.
And that's how you know you've arrived, okay?
Whatever, dude.
Adam, do you wear a tie?
I don't wear a tie every day.
That's,
I do not.
My bad,
I wear,
dude.
But however, I do wear a tie every Sunday.
Boom. That's really all that matters.
So.
You know what?
Anyway.
Touche, my friend.
So I have to say, because I got to give Catholic schools props, because that's how I learned how to tie a tie. Because I went to a Catholic high school, and like when you go to a Catholic high school, you have like this uniform that you have to wear, and the only way to really like stand out for a guy, it's like white shirt and khaki pants. That's what you have to wear.
Yeah.
And so it's like the only way to stand out, or the only way to like throw your style on it, is wear a tie.
And you had to wear a tie on game days.
And I had to wear a tie on football game
Adam
days.
Adam was the quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Yeah. Back in 82.
I could throw that ball over the mountains.
Yep, no problem.
Coach would have just put me in.
Fourth quarter.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So I got a question for you guys.
We're ready.
Hand and fist. I was just thinking these in my hand. Okay, there's the hand and fist. There's
half
the
Windsor.
Or the double Windsor. Half Windsor or Windsor. Thank you. That's what
I'm half. Were. I'm half Windsor.
Yeah, okay. I'm half Windsor. I'm a half Windsor fellow.
It's so quick, so functional.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's stylish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Trinity knot?
Yes. I've even tied a Trinity knot.
Nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier too if you're wearing a vest with the Trinity knot, because you end up like tying it and all of a sudden your tie is like up here. You know, so if you have a vest, it
yeah.
It looks hides. Okay.
I gotta tell you.
Just tuck the tie into your shirt and then you just have a knot there, and that's it. It's just, it's just you have a sick knot.
It's like a monkey's fist knot. Just big, boom, right there. So I here's some advice on the Trinity knot.
We're ready.
Do not wear it to an interview. I did this. It took me about 30 minutes to finally get it right.
And
You know, it's like, I think, oh man, I'm looking good.
Like,
and I showed up to work.
He's ADD as well. So like, it has to be and OCD. So it's like, has to be absolutely perfect engineer style. Okay, well. Like, you know.
You have faults too, dude. Okay, I'm just saying. But I showed up, and all the older guys at work were looking at me like, trying to say, like,
I could beat this guy up, is what they were saying.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And they were all giving me these. I mean, they weren't even like shy about it. They were just giving me these looks, thinking, "I don't know what you're doing, but it looks terrible." Like,
welcome
take
to the
off.
Business world, David.
Right. Drink. Yeah. So don't do it to an interview. Don't wear that knot because people don't think it's cool. That's just the way it is. Yeah.
So, but it is important because as you're, okay, so you guys are still in college, so you're going to be going through interviews soon, right? I mean,
yeah.
Or at least like internships. Ethan, you did an internship this last year.
Yeah, this is my fifth summer of being an intern at a company.
Okay.
Wow.
Nice.
So you didn't have to interview, but.
So yeah, hopefully I get that job offer. I get that sweet, sweet full-time offer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't have to do interviews anymore for the rest of my life.
Which
would be awesome, but you never know.
Yeah, and the average person like switches jobs like 7 times before they find the right one.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, internship might pay dividends, it might not. You never know. You always got to be prepared. You always got to have that tie.
Yeah.
You know, got to have one in your closet.
Okay, I'm going to make this statement, and this is not a political statement, even though it might sound like a political statement.
Oh, you're bringing it on, Dave.
Okay, the best tie I have, hands down bar none, is my Donald Trump tie. And once again, this is not a political statement. It was a gift years ago, before the guy was doing anything
important
for the country.
Well, that's still debatable, but
this is back when he still had a TV show, you know, and was just a celebrity. Not kidding though. Donald Trump ties they're legit. I'm just going to say
that. It's
because
they're thick. Like ties that are thick, whenever you're tying those ties, you know, you want like the tie.
So
like,
it's not a tie with a picture of Donald Trump on it. It's a
Trump brand.
Trump brand.
Donald Trump.
I was picturing like American flag, that would be Donald Trump's head.
No. You talk about wanting to
get beat
up. I
don't think they were staring at the Trinity knot.
Go to the West Coast and wear that tie. See how that works out for you.
They'll burn you down.
No, but the thickness of a tie is really important because it, like, you know, you want the tie to come down to a V and like have this nice
tie's a very dynamic knot.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick's wearing he went out and like got his tie on.
Got it right there. You didn't
I walked 3 feet in my closet because I live in a closet. I have a dorm room.
So the other day I did something for the first time. I tied my tie without looking in the mirror, and I don't know why. I've never done that because I guess
you gotta have fewer mirrors in your house. I do that all the time.
It's bad for my humility, dude.
It's bad for his. Yeah.
I need to see myself for my humility.
I can't tie.
I think
a tie
you're mispronouncing vanity.
Well played. Well played.
Sorry, I'm not trying to roast you, David.
I need it. Need it.
It is the Feast of St. Lawrence, so maybe I am trying to roast you. I don't know.
Nice. He's topical.
He's not done.
I'm not done.
To the other side. Okay, so when we get back, we're going to start talking about the transition from college to a work life. Hang in there with us. We're with the Crunch Guys, Ethan and Patrick, Catholic Pat. I'm Adam Mahan with David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass.
Sitting here with David Niles and the guys from the Crunch podcast, thecrunchcast.com. Go check them out. @Bropostle, @CatholicPat is the Twitter handles. I think I said all of that correctly.
You're right. You got it.
Yeah, I think I got
just
that.
Just switch over to your Twitter app / yeah. Wait till you stop driving.
Yes, do that. Do that. okay, so we've been drinking Innocent Gun. It's a really good oak aged barrel ale.
Special dark.
We just talked about the necktie or bow tie. Oh, real quick, bow tie or necktie, guys?
Bow tie.
Okay.
Necktie for most of the time.
It depends.
I'm in the suspenders, so like I can't. I don't like wearing neckties.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I do enough events where I have to be a goofy MC where I get good use out of my bow tie.
Dude, the most hipster thing that I own is a wooden bow tie.
Nice.
A wooden bow tie. It's pretty awesome.
How do you tie it?
Well, it's a lot of splinters involved, but, you know, takes a man to do it.
So, we're going to jump into the man topic. We have a lot to talk about, but, you know, there's a lot of guys on this, you know, that listen to this show that may be older, as far as the demographic that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the transition from college to the workforce, or college to the family life and workforce. But really, what it is it's a transitional period. So, Any point in time whenever you're making a transitional period in the spiritual life or quote-unquote turning over a new leaf, you know, you can take these aspects and apply them to your life. So it doesn't matter where you are in your life right now, you can take probably these aspects and turn them into your life.
Okay. I like this idea. And so
that, you know, I think, like,
how do you
think
we should
right.
approach this? Because
there's a lot of ways to approach it.
You know, obviously we should be talking about the spiritual life, but for me, and for you and I, Adam,
right?
When we were coming out of college, as I mentioned earlier, we were a bunch of heathens, you know? I remember, so
right.
Adam and I lived together. We've been best friends for a long time.
Like 30 years.
Like longer than you guys have been alive.
Yeah.
And
that's embarrassing.
Only 25 years, dude. 25
well,
years.
That we know
We've
of.
Been alive for 30 years. Not like we were high-fiving right out of the womb, okay?
Pretty close.
Anyway, so for us, we were living together. I remember one day, one of us looked at the other and said, like, hey, maybe we should go to church this Sunday. And
we're cradle Catholics.
It was just like, ooh, that's a cool idea. Yeah, let's try that out. And, you know, and the rest is history. So for you guys, it's going to be a little different. So how do you, this is my question. How do you want to approach this, Adam?
Okay, so I think that it's very important to know that, like, as you're transitioning, like, at least in my experience, transitioning from college to the work life, you know, you're going from a very social aspect in college. You have a lot of guys, a lot of friends that are around you all the time. You guys typically are all thinking the same things. You guys get to embrace, you know, just friendship and fellowship a lot. And then, like, you just get thrown into this workforce, and it's like all of a sudden a switch of mentality of, okay, you're no longer, you no longer have this freedom and kind of less of responsibility, but now it's more of a, now you need to start making money and you need to start doing things.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's still important, I think, to make sure, like, Dave and I have talked about this on the show many of times, but I think that it's so important to have authentic brotherhood, authentic male friendship as you're growing, because there's so many, in this short amount of time from college, you know, to family life, it forms who you are as a person. You know, you go
sure.
from, you know, not as much responsibility in college as far as, like, you know, just worldly things you have to take care of, to all of a sudden now maybe you have a family, maybe you have a wife, maybe you have a job, maybe you have these things, a mortgage, that you have student loans. That sucks. You know,
yeah.
You know, that you have to, like, you know, take care of. You know, so it's very important to have these to make sure to go out of your way. And sometimes it's a burden. Sometimes, like, it's not easy. Like, Dave, you and I had kind of this advantage that we lived together right out of college. So
right.
we
yeah.
had this friendship, but sometimes some guys have to, like, really go out and seek authentic, you know, male friendship.
Yeah.
And because it's been so perverted.
The company of brotherhood.
Right.
So I sit here and think about it, in college, my spiritual life, in whatever form it was, well, you know, it was more about my relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you graduate and you start working, your spiritual life shifts a little bit to the work.
right,
and finding dignity in the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, there's still that element of relationship, of course, but in college I did very little work, you know. Right. And even the work I was doing, I was waiting tables, it was just like, hey, you want to hang out, like, I'll bring you food.
Right.
You want,
okay,
more?
So what do you guys are still in college, so what do you guys think, what are your thoughts?
What are you worried about? Are you worried about anything?
I've never been worried about anything in my life. I'm kidding. So I totally agree. I mean, I think I have a good taste of it just being all of my jobs have been internships. Like, I've never, this sounds kind of weird, but like, I've never waited tables, or I've never had kind of like a normal young person job. I've had an office job for the past 5 summers. And so, wow, I kind of get what it's like to be in that environment, and what it's like to be just for 3 months at a time, what it's like to be in the workforce, and what it's like to, like you said, have your spirituality relate to the dignity of the work that you're doing. And that's something I've struggled with a lot, is because, you know, it doesn't feel, you know, you're still like, when you're transitioning from being a young boy to being a man, it's, you have to not focus on, okay, well, this isn't fun, this isn't enjoyable. It's about, you know, it's something that you got to do. Like you said, it's hard. And the fact that it's hard, and the fact that we do it, is part of what makes us a man in some way. You know, it's that if you want to support a family, if you want to raise your kids, if you want to, I mean, I don't have a girlfriend or a wife or anything like that, but, you know, I can understand where people are coming from when they have those things. It's really easy sometimes to say, well, this is hard, this is dumb, this is not what I'm per se passionate about, I don't want to do it. But you have to, and that's just a part of life. And that's a lot of what I've learned over the past several years, is that I've seen lots of people and lots of my mentors and my coworkers, you know, maybe they don't love what they do. You know, maybe they have other priorities, and, you know, maybe that's the case with me, is I don't necessarily love what I do, but I need to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's just a part of life. And coming to terms with that, I think, is the biggest struggle, especially with our generation, even just the difference in 10 years between you guys and my generation, and me and Patrick's generation, is that we're so used to just being able to do what we want. We have all the extracurriculars we want available to us. We have all of the media we want available to us. We have, you know, anything we could ever want to do. It's just right there, you know, just download it off of mm-hmm. Steam or Netflix or whatever, and you got it for you. And once you get to money time, that's not the way anymore.
No. Right.
So dealing with that struggle, I think, is huge.
Let me
for
just
us.
Tell you guys that, you know, all our counselors said that we were gonna, like, get out of college and start making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 jobs, like, right out of college. And that is just like that is a lie. That is a bold faced lie that your counselors are telling you, because
fake news, baby.
Yeah, that
yeah.
It might have been true when they went to college.
I don't know. I don't know what they were majoring in, but anyway, Patrick, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
So I don't really have as much experience with transitioning work a day, sort of like office job. All jobs that I've had, even internship wise, were at a diocese or at the St. Paul Center. So I was always doing some kind of spiritual work. But with leaving Franciscan, which is such like a tight knit community of, like you said, like-minded people, and you pretty much always have someone to go to, and it's usually always the same. It's always that same level of spirituality and social interaction. Mm-hmm. But when I go home, it's almost as if I go back to a different place every time. So I've gotten very good at that transition. And it's the spiritual transition is the hardest, because yeah. all of a sudden you find yourself alone. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to, except for the times when you're at Mass and celebrating with a community, you kind of have to hold on to your prayer life, and you really have to fight for it. Because even though I had a really solid prayer life before I went to Franciscan, before my freshman year, after my freshman year, going back home my freshman summer, I completely stopped praying. And it was weird, because I was like, but I was praying all the time at school and before that. But it was just the shock of being home and being away from people that were assisting me. Right. I was now being challenged. And that's kind of what I found transitions to be, is just a really big challenge that you have to, you know, hold on to God in.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Yeah.
It's
so,
either you do it or you choose not to do it, and you fail and you suffer.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
that's just the way, that's just yeah. life happens, mm-hmm. bro.
So Patrick, one thing you said was, you know, you were the jobs you've had have mainly been spiritual work. And I think that's really the key, is to see all of the work as spiritual work.
That's spiritual.
You yeah. know, like even the stupid stuff, like putting the new cover sheets on the TPS reports. You know, you got to do that for Jesus, because he wants those cover sheets on those TPS reports just as much as your six managers do. And like that, it sounds silly, and maybe it is silly. I don't know, but that really is the key. And I can say that because I'm so bad at it, like terrible. Those who can't do teach, and so that, I mean, I guess that's me right now. But that's, I know that that's the trick, and it's, man, let me just tell you, there are times where I'm at work and I know that, oh, I need to do this. This is the most important thing. This really has priority, but I just don't want to do it. And it's like, well, you know, a good Catholic man would do this anyway. It's like, yeah, but nobody's watching.
Right.
You know, and I was like, oh, man, those are struggles. And the struggle is so real in those moments. And it's like, it's the little things where the victory really takes place. Some, in many ways, the big things are the easiest. So, oh man, there's the music. On the other side of the break, we're going to continue this discussion about what it means to be a man in transition, moving on to bigger and better things. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're here with the guys from The Crunch. We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles in studio today with my main man, Adam Minahan. We call it the studio because it's not really a studio and it's not really a study. It's kind of both, kind of neither. It's kind of the studio. Adam.
I liked it. Hey, hold on. We're here with the Crunch guys.
That's what I was about to say. I was going to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You rudely cut me off.
Ahead.
We're here with the guys from the Crunch.
Okay, good, cool. Now that you said that, I want to ask, what do you guys think of that music? Is that, like, I saw Patrick bobbing his head. Like, can you not stop bobbing your head when you're listening
as
to that?
As we were starting, we got them all on this little screen down here.
Oh, yeah.
I saw both of them, like, doing
bobbing
this.
Bobbing their head.
All four of us were doing it.
Yeah. It's tough not to.
You can't not
bob your head.
I was
on the highway the first time. The first time I heard your intro music, I was on the highway. I was dangerously bopping my head. Like, I had to pull over.
There is a warning. There is a warning.
There's just something about a blues harmonica that just, like, try to sit still.
It touches the soul.
Yes. It does. It does.
It does.
I bet Jesus would be pretty good at the harmonica. I'm just guessing.
Is there anything Jesus would not be good at?
It's a better question.
Sinning.
I was literally about to say that.
Yeah.
Good call.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Any other question?
No.
Okay. So right before the break, before we were so rudely interrupted by that outro music, even though it's good, we were talking about doing work and putting our cover sheets on the TPS reports for Jesus. And Patrick, you said...
Dang it.
I was like just about to jump in, and the great music cut me off because you were talking about your motivations. We're like, oh, nobody's watching, and
a lot of
our work has to do. We do work because we're motivated by something, and I experienced this over the summer. I worked a remote job, so I was able to work whenever I wanted, and on whatever I wanted, and so I found myself more motivated to do my job that I got paid for because I got paid for it, as opposed to doing work for The Crunch, which I don't get paid for, even though I do love The Crunch. And it's so I found myself more motivated by money. Mm-hmm. And I saw that in myself, and I was very displeased with myself. I'd much rather be motivated by Christ.
Sometimes Jesus does want you to make money.
So sometimes he does, but I was like neglecting The Crunch work, and so
yeah.
So
I noticed. I do that too.
Don't worry.
Not The Crunch, but The Man Show.
David, I had different thoughts on what you said.
Okay, good.
Because you were talking about Jesus, and I was thinking about him, as I sometimes do.
Okay.
And, you know, Jesus, what we kind of forget is that, you know, we see the Gospels, right? And we see the 3 years of public ministry. And we don't necessarily see much at all of the 30 years that came before that. You get the birth. You lose him in the temple, and then bada boom, bada bing. He's
30,
proclaiming the kingdom of God.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yeah. Also, he's like dunked. Loaded with armpit hair and, you know, like muscles and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly, because the thing is that in that inner period, you know, it says Jesus was a carpenter, but if you go into the text, the more accurate translation is that he was a laborer, which most likely means at the time and in the place where he was living is he was carrying stones to and from a quarry.
Yeah.
You know, like that was his jam. He was a burly, burly man, and he had to do hard, back-breaking labor day in and day out. And he did it for probably, 20 years thereabouts, mm-hmm. you know, assuming he started when he was around 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Like, that's crazy. And then we're out here. We're graduating from college. We're saying, well, I shouldn't have to do anything hard because I'm Catholic and I want to do things for the Lord. Well, you know what Jesus did for the Lord? He carried rocks for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So how about you man up and go to your desk job, you wimp? I'm talking to myself right now. I'm just
I think you're exactly right, because once you get into the workforce, a lot of times the day-to-day stuff becomes very monotonous, right? Yeah. Like, it's just like, I have to do the exact same things over and over again. And maybe, like, you, the listener, is listening right now and is like, my job is something that I just have to do constantly over and over and over again. And I heard this from somebody. This is not something that I came up with, and you guys probably know who it is. I don't remember. But he said, I think it's Jose Maria Escriva, but I can't remember. Anyway, he said
Escriva.
Get it
it's
right,
like almost
nerd.
Like Zorro. Like, anyway. anyway, he said, like, you know, how, like, to be able to offer up the monotonous things that you do for all of the monotonous sins that you commit over and over and over again.
Oh, dude, I try not to even think about the monotonous sins. Like,
you know, over and over and over again, all the things that you, like, how efficacious it really could be if you offered up the monotonous things that your daily tasks that you have to do, you offer them up to the Lord, how efficacious they could be for, you know, in reparation for all the sins that you have committed that's been monotonous.
That's
is that right?
Yeah, I think that's the Escriva. I think the quote is like, the monotony of the rosary blots out the monotony of our sin.
Yes,
which I like.
Yes.
He doesn't have the quote with him.
Right, but that's word for word what it is.
But that's what it is, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Nailed it.
You're like a quote
Good
machine,
job, Patrick.
Dude.
I'm all about
Patrick
that rosary.
Quote machine.
I'm all about the rosary.
I have another one.
Okay.
No. I have another quote. I don't know who it is, though. It's that Christ gave more glory to God in the 30 years of work that he put in the hidden life than if he had spent that time going around converting souls.
Who said, you don't know who said that? Because that, I'll just say, that's debatable.
Ooh.
Really?
You could say he gave more glory to God in the last 3 hours of his life on the cross than the first.
Oh, no. Then he gave more glory to God in that time than if he had spent that time. Because, no, you're absolutely right.
Oh,
he definitely gave
I
more
see
glory.
What you're saying. Yes, I misinterpreted your quotations.
Yes.
I gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we had the opportunity in case anybody else
right.
had that.
I'm more on that ship. I'm with you there.
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're...
Yeah, I'm smelling, what you're stepping
I've laid down the gangplank of understanding, and I've crossed over to your ship.
Have you ever thought about, like, who got the stuff that Jesus made? And, like, do you think they had any idea, like, hey... God made this table for you.
What kind of relic is that?
Right.
Did you know that table had a hidden compartment that Jesus put drugs in?
Hey, well, that's from the episode.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
Well played.
Yeah, it was a callback, Patrick.
Callback.
Yeah.
Well played.
Okay.
That saying callback was also a callback to an episode that no one will have heard because it's not released. Anyway.
Okay, so
you're right. No, so, that was good. Good job, Patrick.
So my question for you guys is, like, you know, as you're preparing, what you guys are you guys juniors now?
I'll be a senior.
Senior?
I'm a junior.
Okay.
I'm a youngin.
So as you're preparing for you know, after college, what are your thoughts? Like, what do you think are going to be things that are going to be burdens or challenges for you guys?
Being single as heck.
Yeah.
Adam, if you're a girl listening,
call me.
Bro-postle.
At Bro-postle. Yeah, DMs are open.
DMs are open. And so is his heart.
Yeah, Ethan suffers from crushing loneliness. This is something that I heard.
Yes, like, I say that all the time. David,
crushing loneliness. I mean, it's like not regular loneliness.
It's crushing. Like, it really hurts.
Like, let's make this an ice metaphor, okay? If Ethan were ice, he would be like the Sonic Ice.
Ooh,
there's okay. Sonic Ice.
I need some of that. I need some of that Route 66 Wowda.
But you know what, Ethan, the thing about Sonic Ice is it's the best ice.
That's true.
So
thank you. That
welcome.
Was really nice.
Yeah. There you go.
It's the best ice.
In all honesty, I think one of my biggest struggles heading out of college is going to be dealing with how, kind of what I talked about before, is dealing with kind of the work that I'm doing compared to like things like the podcast and Twitter and things that feel like they're furthering the kingdom of God rather than something that doesn't feel like it's furthering the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And just dealing with my pride in that and conquering that pride and then just and doing it and handling myself in an adult manner. Because I don't do that yet. So,
and you don't have to. And hold on to that as long as you can.
I'm going
to
drag this immaturity train out as long as I can.
Well, Ethan, I don't mean to like add weight to the crushing feelings that you're already feeling. But,
bring it on. Bring it on.
It really is easier once you have like discerned your vocation and you know you're
awesome.
Living it there.
Yeah. I mean,
not trying to hurt you, here, bro. But like, really, when you have kids at home, when you have a wife at home, kind of like someone mentioned this earlier, but it really does make working easier because you feel the responsibility.
There's a lot of people like counting on you.
Like, you have to do a good. You cannot get fired from your job because your kids will be hungry and like you want to talk about something that's crushing. That's terrifying.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. what are your thoughts, Patrick? We only have like 2 minutes left, but what are your thoughts, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, my biggest struggle going out of school is just going to be the same struggles that I always have when I go home, which is keeping my private prayer life solid, because you know we tend to, like Ethan said, focusing on stuff like the podcast or things that feel holy because they're public holiness as opposed to private holiness. That's just that'd be my main struggle.
I think that it's, and I've already said this once, but I can't emphasize it enough. I think it's so important to have other Catholic guys take one night a month, that's not a lot, but get together with your guys, you know, grab a six pack if you want to, or whatever, have a cookout, have a barbecue, whatever you want to do, but, you know, get together, you know, and at the end, maybe crack open the Bible or, you know, just talk about what's going on in your life and ask for help, you know, ask for, hey, what are you guys' thoughts on this? Like, you know, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with, you know, family life in this aspect or finding somebody, you know, what are your thoughts? Ask other guys who are, you know, in the Catholic world.
Yeah, because you have to have that community. We mean like
authentic brotherhood.
Right.
Yes.
Social media has destroyed
community.
It's like we're not going to talk about that. But we've just got a few seconds left. My greatest struggle really is maintaining a state of prayerful ecstasy for more than like 4 or 5 hours.
It's tough. It's
I know. You know, it's like I can hit that 4 hour mark, but beyond that, it's just
not even about me. They didn't get that. Anyway, we're here with the Crunch guys, Ethan and Patrick. Go check them out. TheCrunchCast.com. Go subscribe to their podcast.
The new episodes every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.